Welcome back to another episode of Cedars in Lebanon. Woo! You're welcome. So today we're going to be continuing last week's episode, which is titled Abraham, Friend of God, featuring Ubamara, who is still with us to continue this episode. I'm sure that from last episode, there were so many things that really blessed you and really touched you. And we promise this episode, this part two is going to, well, it's going to open your eyes to so many beautiful things. Yeah. So let's delve in.
Something that stood out to me, like you said, it takes a whole new level of believing, of faith, mm-hmm. to believe God's promises. Mm-hmm. And I just remembered how, like, Abraham would make altars. Like, I just thought of how he kept, like, his faith.
That's true.
And mm-hmm. I saw the first time when God told him something, he built an altar there, mm-hmm. and he moved. And there was another place that he built an altar. Okay, I think the first one was at Bethel. And then the other place, and then it was recorded at the time that he came back to the first altar that he made, and he worshiped God. When I was reading that verse, I saw that how to help our faith in this world is that sometimes God says something, and you know, we receive it, mm-hmm. but like we do not put stakes on it. Mm-hmm. Like Abraham literally put stakes on God's mm-hmm. word so that he could hold God accountable, mm-hmm. that you've said this thing. So like I've penned this thing down. In our lives today, we could mm-hmm. write things down somewhere, because there's this verse in the Bible that says write a vision, something mm-hmm. and run with it.
Yeah.
So like in our world, I think one way to help our faith is to pen things down. God says something, don't just gloss over it and mm-hmm. forget about mm-hmm. it. You are supposed to put it down and remember. And when God does something for you, don't forget about it.
Yeah.
So that in times when your faith is being shaken, mm-hmm. or you're finding it hard to believe God, you can mm-hmm. always come back and say, oh, God has done this mm-hmm. thing before.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to do it again.
God who did this can do more.
Just a life of putting stakes on what God had. He did not just say, oh God, you've said this, okay, I believe you. Like, he had to put up a physical something to mm-hmm. remind
mark
him
it,
that, to mark it,
Wow. That's also really, really, really deep. Wow. It just reminds me of that song that said, I will live in remembrance. Mm-hmm. I think that actually one of the things that many Christians, many believers struggle with is remembering. People forget.
People forget.
We really, really forget. We forget the one who we're calling upon. We forget who he is, first of all. And then we forget that the Lord who delivered you from the bears and lions can also deliver you from Goliath.
Mm.
Like, we forget that it's this same God who brought you through the fire, that will bring you through the storm, like that will bring you through the river, that will bring you... We literally need to learn to remember. Mm. I think it's one of the importance of keeping a journal.
Yeah.
It's very important. I said the day I learned to journal, and that day, God blessed that day. Really, God bless that, because it's not something I planned on. It's something that happened really, really spontaneously. I saw your nice book. I was like, I love it. I have to get this. And then all of a sudden, all I knew was I was writing in it. I would write what God is saying to me. Mm. I would write what I'm responding back. Literally, just writing. And it takes your faith to a whole new level. Sometimes I look at my life and I'm like, God, I'm not doing as much as you want me to do. I'm just looking at my life. I'm really discouraged by what I'm seeing. And Lord is like, go back to the first book.
Yeah.
Go back to the first book. You'll see how far you've come from here. Go back to this book. You will see what we've gone through. I'm working on you. I'm working with you. Like, it's not... Don't call my masterpiece useless. Like, don't talk about precious like that. Literally. So I think, like you said, really, really, really important to make marks, like the way Abraham built altars, to mark the word of God, what he has said. He's faithful to bring it to the to completion. The God that has said a thing, he will surely complete it.
I remember a time when it was this year actually, when I was passing through something, and God literally, because I came to this country in 2021,
mm-hmm.
so that year was such a, I don't know how to explain it, it was a year in my life. And funny enough, when I graduated from high school in 2020, I don't know how I feel like it was God, or I know it was God that put it in that person's heart. On my graduation day, one of my teachers, his gift to me was a journal. Like, it was 2020, he gave me a 2021 journal. Like, anytime I think about it, I'm like, it's like he knew that this year was going to be such a... And I remember that. So, when I was passing through that stuff in 2023... God literally told me to go get, because I came to this country with that journal. He said I should pick that journal and just read over it, and I saw how God had been faithful in my life. I remember the things I wrote down, because that year I wrote a lot, and God just showed me that he had told me some things. There were some things that I was already even working in, like, it was so beautiful to me. Like, seriously, it's really, it's really, really important that we write things down, because it's so easy to forget.
It's very easy to forget.
Yeah. So how, like, I think one thing that stood out to me was how Ishmael was not the plan, but God still blessed him.
Yes, that's so true.
I think I heard someone say something. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but like, the person said, God is a capitalist, that nothing with him goes to waste.
That's very true.
So it's like, no matter the, like, Ishmael was, I don't want to say he was a mistake, but in everything, like, God still used him. He did not say, oh, this was not the plan, oh, I'm just going to, like, send you away like that. He still blessed him. Yeah, and I think that was a privilege, like, to be just like a covenant by association. Like,
yeah,
God literally blessed Ishmael because of his connection with Abraham, and yeah, God still made a nation out of him.
Yeah, and I think that what you said about, like, God not putting anything to waste, it just goes to show the intentionality, right, of every single thing that God does. It goes to show the intentionality of everything that God does. God is not I think it's to humans that is a mistake. Especially even people that say, oh, I was born by mistake. It's to you that you're a mistake. To God, no, he already had a plan for you.
Exactly.
Look at Jesus, for example.
His lineage.
He slid. Yeah, like, before the, like, I'm still going back to that. Before the foundations of it, before the foundations of the earth, he was slain. As in, God, he knew. Like, you can't surprise God.
Does it?
Literally, there's nothing that surprises him. So before you even think, oh my God, I made a mistake, he already knows, don't worry, this is for a beautiful purpose. There are many things in my life that I've struggled with, like, actually struggled with, literally struggled with, and at the end of it, I look back and I'm like, wow. And I mean, going through those things, Lord would tell me that, precious, don't beat yourself up. This is something that is going to become a weapon in your mouth. This is something that you're going to tell, and people are actually going to turn back to me because of it. This is something that I'm literally going to use as a weapon. So now the devil might think, like, okay, he's having this thing in your life, but in the near future, it's going to be a weapon in your mouth. Like, literally, it's literally going to deliver the same people out of it. So if the person says God is a capitalist, I actually do agree. Like, nothing goes to waste. There's nothing that surprises him. There's nothing or no one that we could say was born by mistake, came by mistake. God, there are no mistakes. He's too intentional. Yeah, that's really, really deep.
That just reminds me of that lineage. We're going to talk about the lineage of Jesus.
How Jesus came from.
Have you read that book? By Francine Rivers, A Lineage of Grace?
No.
He talked about, the book was about the five women in Jesus's genealogy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the first one was
Tamar.
Oh,
that woman, I love her. I don't know why. I love her.
Like, if you look at that story, you think of, why would she go sleep with her father-in-law? Like, what kind of mistake is that? But God knew what he was doing. See Rahab, the prostitute, Bathsheba. Who else was even there? Ruth was there. Yeah, Ruth was there. And then Mary. So, like, they're imperfect people. Very that you imperfect. Be like,
this unexpected.
Jesus' story is too perfect for such mistakes people. To be there. But God knew what he was doing.
That's really, really deep. Wow, that's very deep. Wow, that's really, really deep. What else about the life of Abraham? Okay, yeah, I want to talk about the his fine. Did I say his final days? I think it was his final days because when he asked the servant to put his hand on his tie, it was more like he was an old, like an old man, like like he was dying. And he said, "Swear to me that you would find a wife for Isaac out of was it the Canaanites now? I don't remember." Oh, exactly, but the particular group of people. I think that that also goes to show that Abraham was a good father. Father of nations, a good father. Yeah, he was a good father in that. That was actually a place in scripture that you can see that a father picked out a bride
for
his child. But yes, I think that also goes to show the fatherhood aspect of Abraham, because many places in Abraham's story you can see that he's a priest,
he's a prophet,
an intercessor, and all of that. But this also goes to show, like, and a husband too. And this also goes to show his fatherhood. Like, he was so sure, or he knew that his lineage, he wanted it to be that continuity.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, he knew that, the promises that God has made to me, I have to preserve it. So he was very intentional about go and make sure that Isaac's wife is from these people.
Yeah.
Swear to me, you will make sure that Isaac's wife is from these people. I mean, even like we said about his servants, how from the beginning.
Yeah, it's something that just came again. Like, how did he raise people that could actually like hear God?
Two, thank you, because actually that same man, he was one that was by the will and the Lord.
Yes. Like, he had to ask God, "Oh, please give me a sign." Like, he knew that God like, he's still. How did Abraham do it?
Man, he's shy, Abraham. Oh my God, the man's story keeps unfolding.
That means he made sure everyone around him got to know God as well.
Yeah, like, it's not just a me thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was really a father.
He was a father. That's literally, he was a father. I think that also the life of Abraham also reveals to us the fatherhood of God. It reveals to us the nature of the father side of God. Actually, I think that the first side of God that every new believer or every person who comes into Christ first experiences is that father. They first see him as father before they begin to see him even as savior, as helper, or healer, or this. You first have to see him as father, because the Bible actually says that it's by this spirit that we can.
The spirit of fatherhood, and cry out, Abba Father.
Yes. So Abraham's life really, 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 really exposed that fatherhood nature. And he had servants who were really loyal to him. It's hard.
It's hard. Yeah.
A man that so many people are so loyal to.
And he was never recorded that, maybe a servant betrayed him.
Exactly. Or someone like.
Maybe David. Just Lot.
Lot. That man is like, what's done a lot different.
His men turned against him at some point, but he had loyal people.
Abraham had really loyal servants and men who actually obeyed him. Like, he said, do this, and they did. And I'm sure they actually also did recognize the grace of God and the presence of God on his life and around him.
The point that even when God said, like, in their old age, God asked Abraham, like, the second time when God asked him to circumcise everyone,
his people,
it was not recorded that one like said
no,
they trusted the grace of God upon his life, that when God gives him an instruction, it's for all of them, that covering over them.
That's really, really, really goes to show through true fatherhood. Really, really true fatherhood. I think that any person, any man, woman, whoever, this is something that we should actually adopt into our lives. Whether we are young, whether we are old, whatever shape or form we come in, like, this is something in the life of Abraham that I actually think that we should try to emulate. This fatherhood nature or motherhood, however you would want to put it. And if you're probably searching for a life partner. I'm no expert in this, seriously. I'm not expecting this because I'm single to stupor. I don't think I should have a say in this, but I also do think that if you're also looking for a life partner, this is something you should look out for, because you're not going to just be with someone you love. The person is also going to love your kids. The person is also going to be the father or mother of your kids, and you deserve to be with someone who has this heart of a father. And this thing, I actually think it's a heart. It's not something that I don't say something you're born with.
It's learned.
It's or something that the Lord gives you
grace.
You.
Yeah.
Because I remember one time I was in a prayer meeting, and the person, what were we praying about? I don't know. But all of a sudden, the person said, "Lead me a prayer of the heart of a father." Literally. And it was so beautiful what God did in that prayer meeting. Seriously, it was so beautiful because I've never actually thought about praying for the heart of a father, and the heart of a mother, if you'd see, like, that you're not only concerned, and we even see this in the intercessory
prayer,
this thing, like, you're not only concerned about my own or just me, know that if you're receiving anything, it's also for the people
around you,
and I just think that that's deep. You should be that person, and you should be with that person if you're ever going to be with someone. God, I've never talked any relationship I just feel like something that should be said. What else in the life of Abraham? And the Lord really spoke to Abraham. Hey, Jesus, is there anyone else that God spoke to apart from Moses? I think Moses is another person that God actually really spoke to a lot. Like, I can say Moses really spoke with God, but Abraham, I mean, this whole chapter, where is it, chapter 15, literally God talking to him and him talking back. There's something I heard one time that someone said, it was like, God doesn't speak much, but he answers a lot. Like, you know how I'm speaking to you right now, but it's a different thing if you ask me a question and I'm answering. Yeah. So if you want to get God to speak, you have to be speaking to right? Something like that.
It's not a one way.
Yeah. So the thing is, the Lord is always, he's always speaking. Mm. I think this is one thing that's very important. God is literally
speaking. Because maybe he was talking to the other people that were recorded in Bible. He was probably speaking to them too. Or maybe they weren't listening enough. Even in our lives, God is always speaking. He's always saying things.
Yeah.
But like, how sensitive are we to know when he's speaking?
Mm-hmm.
And how often, when we even know that he's the one, how do we respond to him?
Yeah. And do we even believe that he's the one speaking to us? I'm guilty of it. There are some things actually that I hear from God and I'm like, okay, this one is God. But there are some other things that just sound so weird and I'm like, that's weird.
That's
really weird.
I think that was something I struggle. Okay, I think that's something that has happened to me as well. Like, there are times when you would hear some things or some things would be impressed in your heart and you're like, where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
But I think someone said something about how you would know that something is God's voice. Is that you know that there was no way you could have thought of that. There was no way. And that thing, if it's like something that's big, maybe a dream or something, you know that there's no way you can do this thing on your own.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing about God speaking to you. It's like one easy way to know that God is speaking to you.
That's really, really true. That's really true. It's true. That's deep. God is really always speaking. I remember the first time that I would say I recognized that God was speaking to me. Oh my God, Laura.
Yeah.
I remember I spoke about it on an episode before. But that day, I ran to one of my sisters. I'm serious. I ran to one of my, I used to call her my spiritual sister. I ran to her room. I was like, you will not believe it. God just spoke to me. The excitement. I was so excited. I was like, God just spoke to me. God just spoke to me. Oh my God. I was really, really, really excited. And what did he tell me? Nothing much. I will never leave you. I held him in my heart. I was like, God. Oh my God. That is God. So that's you speaking. Oh my God. So that's you. That's you. And yeah, I think that's profound. The Holy Spirit is He's always speaking through people, through your heart. The most common way is through your heart. You get a leading, an impression in your heart. Many people expect the Lord to speak to them in a loud voice like Moses. Moses. Or Saul. And many times he will come through a witness in your heart. Yeah. You have to believe.
And that's something God has been leading. It's like this part. Because there are times when God would... Maybe someone flashes through your mind, and like God is telling you, oh, reach out to this person, call this person, write this person, and you think it's just random. You think it's just random.
Yeah.
And I think that's something God is teaching me now. Like, for every thought I have, it's not random. Like, once you think about this person, or once you think about something that you're supposed to be doing, write it down and make sure you actually do it. Because you keep skimming, like... You notice that one time, like, you find out that you made a mistake, you have to go back and see, you may miss something, so...
That's true. And also, it's also important to... there's an episode where we talked about the voice of God. What's the episode? As Many As I Led, so you can also go back to listen to that episode. It's really, really powerful with Sharon. So yes, the Lord is... He's always speaking. Jesus, God is always speaking, He's really, really always speaking. And it can be in the littlest, minutest things.
Do you know something happened to me today?
What?
So, good. I was in the train. I was coming back to Moscow. And I was going to write someone. Like, I knew there were some people I needed to write. And for some reason, I wrote every other person. And I was supposed to write this person. Like, I was going to do it, but maybe the network left. And then I'm like, oh, let me wait a bit. And I kept delaying, and this person now writes me, and I wanted the message to come before whatever the person wanted to write me about. I'm like, oh God, why didn't I just do these things? Like, I should have written, because the message I now wanted to send after the person wrote me, like, the thing did not flow the way I wanted it to flow. Like, I wanted to lead the conversation. I'm like, had it been I just sent wrote this thing when, since, like, it should have been a better, like, situation. And
Yeah, that's actually another this thing. I can't count how many times, and I think this is actually one place that is very touchy for a lot of believers. A lot of people, the Lord has told you something, but either you're moved by what you're seeing, what everybody else is doing, or God, it will not sound okay, or what kind of instruction is this? Okay, but yeah, so the Lord is constantly speaking, and it's not you. That's what I wanted to say. It's not you, because he who is joined with the Lord is one spirit. Who is joined with Christ is one spirit. Christ is thinking through your thoughts. This does not mean that you will not have those evil thoughts. You will know. You actually know if it's positive or from God. You will know. But if it's something that the Lord is laying upon your heart, it's very important to act with prompt obedience. Another thing about Abraham's story is, I wonder, how long did it take him from when God told him to sacrifice your son and Isaac. Him taking Isaac? Was it a night?
I think probably God spoke to him in the, maybe I'm just assuming, in the evening, but it was recorded that the next day.
Morning, yes. So, like, that's prompt obedience.
Yeah.
Shy, Jesus, son of promise, so... They want to sacrifice.
And it wasn't even recorded that he asked Sarah for permission.
Yeah.
He did not ask Sarah what Sarah thought about it. And just like we're talking of, like, how God tells us something and we just have to obey. I saw a video today, and funny enough, I thought about it today as well, of how God would tell us something and we will want to maybe ask our friends what they think about it, or maybe ask people that are ahead of us what they think about it. What do you think? Does it sound okay? But we know God, we are 100% sure that God has told us something, but we still want to seek validation from people or ask people what people think about it, which is, it's really wrong. When God tells us something, we have to trust that he knows, and we have to trust, I don't say trust ourselves, but we've heard God's voice and act promptly, like, just do what God has said.
That's really, really true. Actually, God spoke, he rose up early in the morning, my God. mom actually had more children, yeah, apart from Isaac.
He did.
Shy. Yeah. And he lived 175 years. So that means if he heard God the first time he was 75, he lived 100 more years walking with God.
There was something else that stood out to me when reading Abraham. You know, after the part where he slept with Hagar, and then, okay, it was his age that was recorded. I think the first time he was 86. The last time it was recorded that God spoke to him. Then when he was 99, God now came back to remind him about the promise.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what happened between what happened during those 13 years? Like, was God displeased with him? Or like, what really happened? Like, what really happened?
But you know, I think that maybe we weren't just told, because it was Moses that wrote this book. But maybe we weren't told. But I do not think Abraham was such a man of God's presence. If the Lord, if James writing can call him a friend of God, then I don't think it's possible that even God being displeased with him will make him stay away that long.
Yeah, for 13 years.
For 13 years. Because even us, I mean, look at our lives now. If the Lord is not pleased with you, he comes to you and he tells you, this is what you did. It's not acceptable. I don't like it. And the Holy Spirit doesn't even condemn, he convicts. So he lets you know, okay, this is how to do it better next time. This is what you should have done. This is how to apologize or something, or whatever you do, what you need to do. So that he would stay away from Abraham, I don't think. So maybe it was just a period of training.
Maybe.
For Abraham, it was just a period of intimacy, closeness that we never got to hear about.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to ask him in heaven. Because, yeah, that's actually really true. 13 years, wow, that we never got to hear about. Anyway, and they actually ended and said that, Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. And then his life, actually, last time they mentioned this thing is when they talk about after his death that God blessed Isaac. And I just think that was so beautiful. And Isaac carried that blessing. That was the same blessing that he gave to Jacob, right? That Esau was saying, can you know, even if you bless him? And he was like, nah, there's nothing that remains. This is the blessing.
Like, as you read this, I just saw the beauty of like finishing well.
Yes.
He started well
and finished well.
His walk with God
was beautiful. Abraham is one of those stories that I think he would call perfect, actually. It's literally perfect because, and this is the perfect we can live up to, because, I mean, it's easy to define perfect as, oh my God, I have no flaws, I have no this, I have no that, but that's, I think to God, when the Lord said, when the Bible actually said, be perfect even as I am perfect, I don't believe that Jesus was speaking of someone that does not have sins, does not have flaws, does not have, no, he's talking about someone who recognizes that, oh yes, I am human, and this flesh is the reason why I could fall, but... Yeah. I come to you.
Just like Abraham, when God told him that he's going to have a son, he did not deny the fact around it. He acknowledged that his body was weak. But still, he submitted to God's will.
Seriously. So I think that when you talk about perfect, this is God's perfect. Not our own definition of perfect, that everything is 100%. No. His own definition of perfect, where I know that I don't have 100. I don't think I have 50. I know that if I bring it to you, you would make it perfect.
That's so deep. That's so deep.
Jesus, wow, Abraham's story has hurt me so much.
Me too.
I want to go to heaven. Abraham. I have so many questions to ask him, man. If you had a question for Abraham, what would it be?
I think it would be, what made you so sure that God would do what he said? What made you so sure? What was the evidence you had? I think that would be it for me.
That's amazing.
What about you?
If I had a question for Abraham, I would ask him how. Like, how did he walk with God for 100 years and never ever come to a point where he was okay? How did he... It's one thing to stay with someone for 30 years. Like, married couples, for example. It's one thing to live with someone, like... Let's say people are married for 70% of their life. So, if we're saying you live 100 years, that means 70 years.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to be with someone for 100 years. Like, that's in many years.
It is.
Like, how did you every time trusting? And it's like, as I kept walking with God, things became more outrageous. Yes. Like, it's just increasing. Like, I would want to know, like, Abraham, how did you never take his presence for granted? How did you stay so close to him those 100 years? Were there times where you fell? Were there times where you did not believe? Was there any time where you thought of not obeying? I just want to know how. Seriously. Because, this is such a beautiful life.
Very beautiful story.
And we were seeds of Abraham. That's really, yeah.
His life, there's just so much to learn.
So much.
I haven't even seen some things till now.
Thank you, me too. Like, literally, things in Abraham's life that I've literally not seen till now. If we're calling ourselves friends of God,
we should really check it.
We should really put ourselves on this thing and try to put in. There's grace. I was talking with someone the other day, and she was saying, like, for our generation, if every other generation had the excuse of there was no grace, because Christ had not come, our own generation, we can never open our mouth and say that the grace is not abound, because there is literally grace. She said, like, one of the things that are abundant in these last days is grace. So your excuse to God can never be there was never enough grace. No, like, you should think of another excuse.
It's not even that you even have to ask. It's there. It's just for you to reach out and take it.
Thank you. Literally. Alright, so thank you so much to everyone who listened to these two episodes about the life of one man. God bless you, and we pray for you that even as you've listened to this episode, even as this episode has blessed us, even as this episode has, I am blessed, I'm really, really blessed, things I have not seen up until today, I pray that the Lord actually grants his presence to you the way he granted Abraham his presence, the way Abraham, that was one thing that was so significant about Abraham, was the presence of God. Let him grant that same presence unto you, that you would be like Abraham and never depart from his presence, and nothing will ever take you away from his presence, because if you have his presence, you have everything that you need. Literally. Amen. Wow. Man, wow. Okay, thank you so much for listening. God bless you. Have an amazing week, and remember to share this episode. This episode is such a blessing. What? Share it. Seriously, actually, please do share it and listen again and again. You will be blessed every time you listen. God bless you, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.